And it is time for the second hour of the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show right here on KSCO.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, Mrs. Future.
Thank you, darling.
Welcome back, Bobby.
Thank you. Yeah.
Glad to
be here.
And welcome back, Billy.
Yeah,
thank
Billy.
You, darling.
Yeah, we got a full studio here today.
We actually have people online and everything, too, but... You know,
really?
I know you got a lot to do.
No, I do. I've got it. But once we start with what I'm doing, we're not going to do the online so much
until
afterwards. I got about 20 minutes of material to present.
So, callers, what we want you
Should
to
we,
do
you
is
wanna,
hold it off. Or you want to just
Yeah, let's talk to the
callers
because it's not going to be about what we're talking about. So,
all
we'll,
right.
We'll say we'll
West Side Al will give you one precious minute, okay?
How you doing?
Welcome to the show.
Al?
I'd like to say aloha to the brother out of there in Makaha. If folks don't know it, the Sons of Makaha are one of the greatest Hawaiian bands, and I saw them in Oahu. Man, and I saw them again years later. They were awesome. They could bring tears to your eyes.
Oh, you know, cool.
Wow, thanks. Oahu, okay. I was wondering which island he was on.
Yeah, that's the west side. That's still in Honolulu County outside of Waikiki.
Fabulous.
Okay, so for those just tuning in, that was an earlier caller called from there.
Yeah. Okay, Westside Al, we got a whole bunch of stuff that we want to dive
into.
Do you
have a particular issue you want to mention or
area.
Something?
Go for it. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Makaua
thanks for the
link.
Aloha.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking Makaua because that was a place in Maui that I knew.
Makaha.
That was
yeah.
Yeah. Makaua is more
Sons
of a cowboy
of
town.
Makaha. Got a little shout out there.
Hanalei Bay for me.
Hanalei Bay.
Hanalei
right.
Bay.
I don't know that one.
Okay.
Kauai.
Okay. So we have any other callers?
No.
Okay, good. So I got a call Friday night to come to this private party gathering here in Aptos area.
Word of Mouth Network.
Yeah. And to record a session with what's affectionately known as one of the disinfo dozen. One of the people that's gained notoriety for not following the program with the whole vaccine inoculation.
That's right.
Thing.
Yes, and someone whose voice is being squelched by those who want to create political incorrectness and cancel culture.
And in this case, it was a doctor, an ER doctor, somebody who deals with patients all the time.
20-year career.
Dr. Simone Gold, who was also trained, interestingly enough, with a JD degree as a lawyer at Stanford. She's very interested in the civil rights issues as well as whatever medical issues are involved with treating the virus.
Yeah, a little quote from her is, well, I knew that we had a medical issue, but we had a legal crisis.
Yeah, and she gained notoriety when a video of the America's Frontline Doctors, which is she's one of the founders of, had a press conference in front of the U.S. Supreme Court building that went viral last July.
Yeah, and it wasn't just a press conference. It was a seven-hour educational seminar with doctors addressing the issues of how to handle the treatments of COVID at the time and talking from their clinical practice. And they addressed things like minorities, they addressed kids, they addressed treatments that were not waiting for vaccines that could be handled for any kind of general viral abatement.
So I'll let her tell you some of that in her own words, because you won't hear, no mainstream media will cover this. Also, the Facebook, YouTube will all...
I don't think we should call it Facebook anymore. It's Facebot.
Yeah.
We don't have humans there anymore. We have really stupid AIs.
Some people would say that we shouldn't play you alternative points of view, but we think you're smart enough to figure out whether or not it's worth paying attention to. I want you to hear her from her own point of view. And it's not just what she's saying. It's also her tone of voice and her whole mentality towards this, which comes across in her words. She spoke for a couple of hours, and I took about 20 minutes of excerpts, which I think are the most significant.
Worthy of discussion.
Worthy of discussion. And so I'd like to play those for you now. The first one's 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay.
Okay?
Go.
Okay, here we go.
So I'm a board-certified emergency physician working on the front lines, whether or not there's a pandemic.
And when I first heard about this thing coming over from China, that was really around December, I was really attuned to it simply because I'm very interested in health policy. As you heard, I also have a JD from Stanford University up the street. So I'm just the kind of person who's interested in health policy. I think that's why I was like really focused on it really early. I think it's going to be shown that the vaccines are more dangerous, actually, than the virus itself. I don't have proof yet, but there's so much suspicion, and we know that the virus is not lethal to almost anybody. So it's really, really irresponsible that we roll this out, really, in all of humanity. You've heard about the shedding.
So that was a big one, the shedding.
I'm going to give you the facts as best we understand them now. And I want to say that in my shoes, I work very hard not to go down the rabbit hole of things that do not make scientific sense. I'm asked all the time, and I'm pummeled with information all the time that sounds impossible or incredulous, and I actually have to work very carefully. So first, I thought this vaccine shedding was in that category. I was like, this doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm pretty open-minded, right? So I started looking at it. Here's what I know for sure. During the experimental trials, at least with Pfizer, I'm sure Moderna, I just haven't looked it up myself, they actually wrote for the people participating in the trials, the people getting the vaccine could, I don't know if they use the word shed or transmit, to close contacts through inhalation, exhalation, or by touch. So they don't write things unless it's true. Like, you can't just write everything. This was obviously something that the scientists working on the vaccines felt was something they had to say. So that's their words. If you want to see the picture of their words, my Twitter, like 2 or 3 days ago, I posted it. The starting point is that the science supports it. I'm not a bench scientist, so I have to go with what the bench scientist is saying. The bench scientist said there is a potential problem here. In other words, there's a scientific theory that this could happen. When I saw that, like, I had to investigate it. I mean, that's per Pfizer. It was crazy to me. At the same time, I get reports from all over the world, and all over the world, there are people complaining of the vaginal bleeding irregularities. It can't be a coincidence, and it can't be a conspiracy, because it's everywhere. I've gotten these reports from all over the world. So people that are with people who are vaccinated, women that are with other people that are vaccinated, all over the world are having irregular vaginal bleeding. There's sometimes they're postmenopausal, sometimes they're pregnant and they're bleeding, sometimes I don't know if they're causing a miscarriage, but there's a lot of bleeding. I mean, we just have gotten these reports from all over the world. Something's happening. You've got a 75, 80-year-old woman who's all of a sudden bleeding, and our only exposure was, right? So people wanted to discount this in the beginning. I walked the middle road, right? So I didn't jump up and down when I first started hearing about this, but I remembered it. Now I've heard it everywhere, all over the news, like all over the world. Then I started looking into this more, and I'll give you my best theory, understanding it's just a theory. So the way these mRNA vaccines work is they come a lipid nanoparticle. That's the big fancy like nanoparticle things people talk about, LNP. That's like the boat, okay? The boat is carrying the mRNA. So you get the shot, there's this little lipid nanoparticle boat carrying the mRNA. The mRNA then gets into your cell. The lipid nanoparticle does and the mRNA particle. But the mRNA particle is telling your body what to do. So it tells your body to make these spike proteins. So it hijacks the cell and tells the cell, go make all these spike proteins. Once you've taken the vaccines, it's estimated that you make 13 trillion spike proteins. So the question is, what do these spike proteins do to people? Here's what I know for sure. One, they can attach to cells. There's a study that came out recently that on their own, the spike proteins cause disease, meaning they can inflame airway cells, like in the lungs. The spike proteins themselves also cross the blood-brain barrier. The blood-brain barrier to a doctor is like church and state. That is like, it's sacred. Like, you don't mess around. I remember flipping out, like, personally, when I heard that. So I remember calling up one of my friends, just because they make things faster for me, who's a real sciencey guy. Do other vaccines cross the blood-brain barrier? Like, I've never heard this before. He's like, oh, no, no. I'm like, because this sounds insane to me. I can't even process this. Like, the truth is I really am still processing. I'm processing how we've, like, unleashed this thing that can cross the blood-brain barrier, like, onto all of humanity. I can't process it.
Okay, we'll take a break for a moment.
All right. Yeah, good thing, because we have to go to our first break. So how about we
That's Simone
right
Gold in Aptos, California this weekend.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Dr. Simone Gold. Okay, welcome back to the show. So we are just listening to Dr. Simone Gold give a little download here in Aptos, California this weekend, we heard. And she's one of the founders of Frontline Doctors, who are very much involved with getting the information out on how to use alternatives for treating the virus, such as ivermectin.
Yes, cheap and tested for 50 years for safety and efficacy, and known to be effective in the past against SARS-CoV-1, such things. And
how do you get it?
What?
Ivermectin.
Well, you've got to call up the America Frontline Doctors and talk to a telemedicine doctor, and they'll prescribe you.
So do you have it at home if you
there
need
are a couple
it?
Of there are a couple of doctors here that also prescribe it as well, and we've had them on the show.
You and your doctor can prescribe safe, effective medicines. So you and your doctor need to have a conversation, and then you can get a prescription.
No, what was disturbing in this last piece was the fact that if the shedding is real and people who are not vaccinated are getting sick from people who are vaccinated, what? Yeah, it gets messy real fast.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, you know, the disinformation 12 that you're talking about are actually advocating that vaccinated people need to wear a sign on their arm that says they're vaccinated so people know to avoid them.
Shedding 13 trillion spike proteins. Anyway, I've got another piece I want to play.
Yeah, please.
All right.
Here we go.
Ready?
This is my theory. I think we're entering a time when people should be on ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine regularly, prophylactically. In Africa, people take hydroxychloroquine every week, and they call it Sunday medicine. They just take it every Sunday, and I think that's where we're heading. I feel a tremendous sense of urgency that everyone should have hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin in their medicine cabinet, because that stuff doesn't hurt you, doesn't create spike proteins, and works no matter what. So I'm actually more nervous if it really does get transmitted very easily amongst people, the people who otherwise, like me, wasn't nervous about this at all, I'm a little bit more nervous now. The easiest way, if you live in America, is you can actually go to our website, americasfrontlinedoctors.org. You can get yourself the drugs. You can get yourself hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. At the top, I think it says, how do I get COVID-19 medicines? They connect you with a telemedicine doctor. Is the number one question I was asked. And remember, I was like, give it to the people. Like, this is the best I could do. I tried for 3 months to make it over the counter. We failed. So just click on that link. You have a telemedicine consult. They will prescribe you the medicine. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to lie. You're just like, I want to have this in the house. Great. Then they mail it to you. And then you've got it. And I feel really, really strongly that everyone should have this, because I don't know what the downstream effect is going to be of all the stuff going out there. I personally take hydroxy because it's easier to do and it's cheaper, and there's always a shortage of ivermectin. Yeah. Yeah. We have a fun little light article on our website called Variants or Scariants. It's just... It isn't a thing. Even though the media calls it isn't a thing. Hydroxy and ivermectin will work no matter what.
Okay. That's what she has to say about on the medical side. She definitely prefers to use these as an antiviral. Now, she also gets a little bit into the legal stuff, which is really, I think, even her stronger suit.
She's mounting some legal battles very soon.
Really? I'm all about the civil rights. That's really where it's at, right? That's where it's at. So, America's Frontline Doctors, our tagline is the trusted name for independent information, but our unofficial tagline is AFLDS is the real ACLU, right? Why the ACLU hasn't stepped into this, it's unbelievable. We're all about the civil liberties. So we're doing two or three different things with America's Frontline Doctors. First, you should know that the support for America's Frontline Doctors has been through the roof. We've grown very, very large. On americasfrontlinedoctors.org, we've set up a few things. One is the legal page. We get tons of questions like, I don't want to wear a mask, what's the rule, and I want to push back, or I don't want to get a vaccine, what's the rule, my employer is saying I have to. We have, on the legal section, masks and the law, vaccines and the law. We want everybody to feel empowered in their life. We can't do the fighting for you, but we've given you the information so you can fight for yourself. And I'm saying that even if you've never gone to a city council meeting, a school board meeting, and even if you're shy and you're scared, you gotta go. You're going to lose your freedom. I don't know what else to tell you, especially in California. Like, it's almost gone completely. For sure, if people get together, they can make a difference. You can certainly make a difference at your local. You can't make a difference in the state right now, but at your local school board, you can. You saw the people in Vail that switched over the whole school board. It can happen. We've seen it 100%. Your kids should not be in masks at school. It's like child abuse. It should not be. Parents, you're like irresponsible. I've got two kids. I would never have allowed that. Done. But if you want to be informed, You've got the legal page, masks and vaccines. That's just being formed so you can go and fight. The next level is if you feel you've got a case that could be paired with an attorney, we're really trying to pair people with attorneys in their state if you want to go to the distance. Okay? Third is we're bringing strategic litigation. This is really, really hard. It's really hard to make a person who's in the middle of a cult, which we have to assume the judges are, because most of America is, to understand, right, to not think that we're crazy. So it's very hard, this strategic litigation. But those are our three levels. People have to fight on their own. If they have a case they think they might want to be paired with the lawyer, we've got that. And then we're doing the strategic litigation. So go to the legal page. Kind of related, but its own section, is the Citizen Corps. We started Citizen Corps at americasfrontlinedoctors.org. Citizen Corps is a way for you to have people in your community that are going to step up and be with you when you have to fight. If you have to go to the school board, you've got your friends. If you want to have five of you go into Target without a mask on, you feel empowered with friends. That's what it is. It is exactly what you make of it. If citizens don't take back their power, I can tell you now you're going to be living in tyranny in China. For sure in California, that's what it's going to be. I'm not saying this for my own amusement. Our backs are against the wall. Everyone here is like, oh, I'm busy, I'm tired, I've got my... Believe me, I was busy before this year. Now I've gotten to a whole different level of busy. And so can everybody. We really, our backs are against the wall. Everyone here has to fight. You just do. So we've given the tools. Join the Citizen Corps. We just started this maybe 3 weeks ago. I only announced it really at events like this. We already have 2,000 people from across the nation. Like, this thing is going to be big. We're going to be able to take back our freedoms. But you have to step up. And it becomes whatever you want of it. It's really for fun, like have dinner, meet like-minded. You only really need one sort of like activist personality and like 10 others to go along with them, right? You don't have to do anything that's not you. There's always that one person, you know, a little bit like me in the group that like wants to fight. And then there's like six others like, oh, I'll go along because I believe in that, right? That's what it is. It's like that there's people who can write letters. There's people who can just do a dinner party like that. So Citizen Corps. The third, it's new. We started a news division. People are like, well, I don't know what to believe. Okay, so we bring you hard news that's accurate. Right now, it's obviously very COVID-focused, but going forward, I think it's going to get very big. America's Frontline Doctors is really the trusted name for independent information. Everything we get is from donations from the public. We don't take any, and we never will take any corporate interest money, period, end of discussion. We're absolutely in a constitutional crisis, hands down, no question. Yeah. Everything I'm seeing is unbelievably illegal. Bodily integrity, we have a right to travel, we have a right to assemble, we have a right to religion, we have a right to speech, of course, we're censored. That's what we're working on. Night and day. So within very short time, I hope no more than 3 weeks at this point, maybe two, we're going to have our first cases filed. We have about four or five that we're planning. It's super important because if people don't fight back, we're going to be living in China soon. What I'm holding on to and what we work towards is that our Constitution emerges intact. Please feel free to donate. More importantly, I really want you all to become part of the family. Like, there's over 700,000 people have joined us now. And we're going to build a new way of doing medicine once we can deviate from the legal.
Okay.
I'm going to announce my candidacy for governor right now.
I'm running
for government.
Philly Sunshine.
Will you support me?
Well, I have to listen to you and Caitlyn Jenner debate.
Yes. Yes, you do. I only need $3,500. That I've got. And 65 signatures.
All right.
So there you go.
I think you should do it. Definitely break up the resistance, Billy. All right. Should we just go to the break? Because
yeah,
we're going
to
talk
break.
About this
break
more down. After.
But yeah, Billy, okay. So yeah, keep us posted on your progress. Yeah, we like.
I will be coming to you for signatures.
Okay. Be right back.
Oh, dear. Yes. Thanks, Norm. I have comments saying I might attract some true believer zombies who hate opposing views. And then they eat brains so nobody can use them. Wow. Be careful here. Better play the next segment. We're listening to Dr. Simone Gold, her visit to Aptos this weekend from Frontline Doctors. Here's also part of her download.
Now, why this is all going on? What I think is going on is I think that there's four different interests which are all going in the same direction, which is kind of a new thing for American society. First, there's the useful idiots. That's the media and most politicians. The
that's
second
us.
Level are the smug intellectuals.
Yeah, that's us.
That's like
that's
Bill
me.
Gates.
Yeah.
The third level are the like dispassionate profit motive. That's called that big pharma.
Not me.
And the fourth level is the truly nefarious, like George Soros. Right now, for the first time in history, all four are moving in the same leftist direction, and they're able to do it on a worldwide scale, which is also unprecedented. The reason I think it's important to lay them out as four different motives I think it's pretty hard to stop if you think they all have the same motive. So I don't think Fauci and George Soros have the same motive. I think someone like George Soros or that type is truly evil, truly intense, pure evil, whereas I think Fauci's motivated more by his smugness and vanity. I just want you to keep those four things in mind. How else do you explain that, like, Don Lemon says what he says, it matches what George Soros says? He's just like a useful idiot, you know what I mean? Like, he's going along with the crowd. So just keep that in mind. And in the past, all these forces were not really moving in the same direction. When you think about Big Pharma, I wasn't raised to think Big Pharma was bad. Pharmaceutical companies can do so much good for the world. They really can. We've firmly incentivized them to do that, is what happened. So I don't actually think they're the enemy. I think they were incentivized by Congress to do bad things, and we could incentivize them to do good things. So whereas you couldn't incentivize a truly evil person to do something bad. But looking at all that, understanding people have different motives, Bill Gates has one motive, it's hard to not see depopulation or slavery as the ultimate goal. Because Bill Gates has been very clear about wanting to reduce the population. And when you have things like telling pregnant women to take this thing, it's so not scientific and not sensible. You have to have some other motive. I do think there's like an evil, I do. But I came to that through a really scientific analysis of how bizarre this is.
Yeah.
So we kept hearing about this bat market, right?
This is her take on whether or not the virus was engineered or not. It's kind of interesting. And she's someone in a position of talking to a lot of people on a national level.
I think that sounded like really kind of sketchy. Because I also, as a doctor, I knew that this was the third respiratory virus that we had gotten from China in 25 years, like pandemic. I was like, I don't really believe that. So I started looking into it. Within 5 minutes, I discovered that within 4 miles, I think, of the bat market was the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I'm just saying how it's hard to believe. So what is the Wuhan Institute of Virology? So the Wuhan Institute of Virology is a biosafety hazard lab level 4. So labs are listed 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 is like a high school lab, like it's safe and there's not gonna be anything deadly. 2 is the scientists can deal with organisms at level 2, which can be deadly but are really hard to get. Interestingly enough, HIV is a level 2 because it's actually kind of hard to get HIV. So it's deadly but it's kind of hard. So the HIV is level 2. 3 is things that can kill you or harm you. You can catch them, they're not so hard, not so easy. Like HIV is pretty hard to get, but it's not that hard to get. So level 3 would be tuberculosis. You can totally catch it. You can catch it more easily than HIV, but that doesn't definitely kill you. Anyway, so that's level 3. Level 4 are pathogens that can kill you and are pretty easy to catch. So SARS-CoV-2 was considered a level 4. By the way, I believe it's gotten weaker over time, which we're interfering with now with the vaccine stuff. But back then it was a level 4. So there's only about 50 biosafety hazard lab level 4s in the world. America, I might be wrong on the numbers, I think America has about 13. Europe, I think, is around the same. Russia has like 1 or 2. I think Japan has 1 or 2. South Korea, I think, has 2. Anyway, China had 0 until 2018. So it's considered a point of national pride for China that they have a biosafety hazard lab level 4. Like, it's like, wow, we're in the big leagues now. Now, on China's biosafety hazard lab level 3, where other respiratory viruses were treated, there have been several times that they had safety breaches where the organisms had gotten out. It's well documented. In other words, they're sort of a young country in this way. Only a generation ago, they were pretty much backwater. So they're not really sophisticated enough in their safety protocols. So they've had safety breaches at level 3. Now they make level 4. As soon as level 4 opened, I think it was January 2018, they had some safety breaches. So France and America went over to help them, try to help them with their safety breaches. So what do we know for sure? We know that China has a history of having had organisms that escaped from level 3. We know the level 4 lab is brand new and had a safety problem like in the beginning. I think it delayed its opening from January to April in 2018. We know that they said it happened at a back market like 4 miles from this site. So I'm saying, if you were sitting on a jury, do you think it came from a back market? So it clearly came from the lab. The question I don't know is if it was man-made or not. What I can say is that people I respect deeply say it's impossible that it was natural. They say scientifically it's impossible. That's all I can say.
So that's another little snippet of information to contemplate. Yeah.
I have a problem with one thing she said that makes me wonder about everything she said.
Yeah.
When she says that George Soros is pure evil,
yeah.
I doubt that he's pure evil.
That's her opinion. I never got that impression myself.
Yeah, she doesn't make that case. So whatever, you know, people have their opinions.
But people do have strong opinions about Soros.
Yeah, you know, seen, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I would say that he made his money trading currencies. He has a worldview that would be hard for us to grok.
That's probably the case.
So, do you want to talk to people, or do you want to finish playing your pieces? We have people who would love to talk.
Yeah, I've got 4 more minutes, and then we'll talk. Okay?
Okay. Go.
All right.
Okay.
And I call it the religion of public health. You have to understand that what we're seeing is the birth of a new religion. In this religion, belief is primary. People say things like, I don't believe hydroxychloroquine works. I believe Dr. Fauci wouldn't try to hurt me. It's a belief system. It doesn't matter what the facts are. There's also an urgency in people to convert other people to their side. We've never lived in a time where people had a strong opinion about a prescription medicine. Whoever cared? You're taking Lipitor? You're taking Lipitor? You're taking Adenocard? Oh my God, like take back for a moment. There's this zealousness and fanaticism that's insane, right? So there's this need to convert people to their side. And there's a need to condemn people on the other side. This is a religion. Do you understand? It's a religion. I'm not being funny and cute with my words. I'm saying once you understand that this is like a religious belief that people are having, it makes more sense. Like, oh, you're not going along with the new religion. I get it. You need to see it like that. You need to understand you better damn well protect your constitution or you're going to be in their religion. I'm a daughter of a Holocaust survivor.
Wow.
Just to put this in perspective, this all violates the Nuremberg Code. We have a civil rights paper on our website, the civil liberties issues relating to the experimental COVID-19 vaccines. It's really interesting. It goes from Nuremberg and how we're violating Nuremberg and we're violating all norms of civilized countries. The vaccine passport is the same as a tattoo. It's the same as a Jewish star. Blue eyes, brown eyes, black skin, white skin, fat, thin, tall, short. It's divisive and it's leading to segregation. There was a sign in a church last week someone sent me, vaccinated, unvaccinated.
No.
Yes. In Israel, there's Israel, it's like that. You can sit here if you're vaccinated, here if you're not vaccinated. How is this different than blacks drink out of this water fountain or whites drink out of that water fountain? It's not. Wake up. This is real. This is here. They're taking away our constitutions. I really don't care if you want to go get vaccinated. That's your prerogative. You can't force it on me, and you can't force discrimination. By the way, vaccine is just an excuse, right? It's just a way to divide. We need our constitution. And then the fourth level of corruption is our government. It was unbelievable that the government got involved at the micro level to tell doctors they can't prescribe hydroxychloroquine. They passed bills, they passed laws on this. The FDA, it's unbelievable. I had a direct conversation with Deborah Birx on the Coronavirus Task Force Committee. I had met with her twice. It was actually kind of by accident. I was there for others, but we ran into her 2 separate times. The second time I was smart enough to put my phone on voicemail, so I have it on voice, where we said to her, the public thinks we can't prescribe because it's off-label. Can you issue a statement saying that it's fine to prescribe it? And just so you know, off-label, on-label, it means nothing to doctors. It's not anything we talk about. On-label, off-label, for marketing is the phrase. For marketing purposes. The pharmaceutical manufacturer cannot market the drug off-label unless it's been authorized by the FDA. But it can sell it all day and night. And this is commonly done. About 30% of the drugs we use are off-label all the time. I have an antibiotic that works for pneumonia. I find out it works for urinary tract infections. I use it off-label all the time. Many of you are probably on off-label drugs. If you're taking more than 3 or 4 drugs, one of them is probably off-label. So it was a big fat nothing. So Deborah Birx is a doctor. I said, can you clarify this? I said, because a lot of doctors are running around like they can't prescribe it. Oh, no, of course you can prescribe it. But the pharmacy boards won't fill it. They're telling us it's off-label. On tape, I have her saying, well, then the doctor should just write it for malaria. So I didn't even catch it when she said it. And then the person with me, there were 6 of us standing around, 5 of us were doctors, one said, did Deborah Birx just tell us to lie? I honestly didn't even process it when she said it. I'm like, huh, yeah, I think she did. It was just weird. Like, it's just a weird response from the government, from the person on the coronavirus task force meeting. Wow, that's the official policy. Okay, all right. What do I do with that? So one thing that helps me when it's overwhelming and dismal is remembering that this is not new. Our founding fathers well knew that epidemics were a fantastic way to control people. It's actually written in a lot of their papers because epidemics give the executive branch too much power. People panic. They say to the king or the president, take this power, the governor, take this power, because, you know, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Unlike a hurricane or unlike a war, when people have something to focus on or ways to help each other to volunteer, epidemics are silent. They're stealth. They require you to listen to a government authority about what to do to get permission. They're an excellent way to take power. Our founding fathers wrote about this, and this is one of the reasons for the basis of the Bill of Rights, is they knew that the executive branch gets grubby and greedy. Benjamin Rush was one of the original signers to the Declaration of Independence. He was George Washington's personal physician. He advocated hard for a clause in the Bill of Rights for medical freedom. I'm paraphrasing. He said that the medical man or the doctor has the power to cause tyranny and dictatorship, and that we needed to have protection in the Constitution for medical freedom, the same as we had for religious freedom. He didn't win, obviously, because it's not in our Constitution. But God willing, we get through this with our Constitution intact, and we all advocate, if I survive till 2022, after hopefully the Congress is a little more favorable, for a constitutional amendment that would codify Benjamin Rush's beliefs of medical freedom, so this could never happen again. I think that's a good place to end, because I'm out of time.
Okay, there you go. That's my little Dr. Future report.
And we will devote the whole next section to the conversation and the callers. And we are going to go to our last break a little early so that we can concentrate on the conversation. Be right back.
See you in a minute. Okay, we're back. If you want to hear the whole talk, you can go to our drfutureshow.com links page, drfutureshow.com, and click on the links page, and you can hear the whole thing or the 20 minutes that I excerpted from it. It's about a two-hour piece. So we got a whole bunch of calls. The board's all lit up, so we're going to have to keep it fairly short with everyone.
Yeah, we're going to give everybody a minute because we only have 13 till the end of the show. Yeah. Okay.
So let's try to do that.
We'll try. All right.
It's our intention.
In
reality.
Order here, we got Bruce. Welcome to the show, Bruce.
Bruce, welcome to the show.
Yes, welcome and great show.
Thank
you. I just want to say this briefly, that the work to poison a population or kill all health has been going on since the day we gave the smallpox blankets to the Iroquois Indians. It's a standard means of controlling the population. The second thing that one the woman left out of the argument is we have a health care system we can't afford anymore. It's causing massive bankruptcies, and it's unaffordable for most people. When you fall off a bicycle in San Francisco and you get a $20,000 medical bill and into bankruptcy, that wouldn't be tolerated in most other countries. And so we've got a deeper, deeper problem. And I commend you on your work and your reporting that you're doing.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. Appreciate that. And this is Bruce calling from Ojai, right? Where you are now?
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, there's a big ET experiment going up there in Ojai tonight. Thought you should know. One of the tech millionaires is doing a big experiment with night cameras and all kinds of stuff. I'll tell you about that later.
Yeah, I'd like to know about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right. We're going to keep going here. Next on the line, we have Steve from Monterey. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, I'd like to chime in about the vaccine. I choose not to because I know how to get rid of it. If you get a symptom, the best thing you can do is reduce the viral load as much as possible. And the way we do this, believe it or not, is get a half a roll of paper towels if necessary and blow the hell out of your nose. Every time you feel like blowing your nose, blow it for all it's worth. Same with sneezing. Get it out of your system. Take your vitamins, and you can get it and get rid of it in one day. So,
all right.
That's
conscientious the best thing. Objector, take care of your health. I'm so with you, Steve.
Yeah, preventative care. Knowing what to do. And then that's where the ivermectin comes in, too, because it's used as prophylaxis.
Yeah, before this big marketing campaign for vaccines, that's pretty much what everybody was advocating is take care of your health.
Now, the other thing about this virus is there was a HIV genome spliced into it, man-made, probably man-distributed for man-made purposes. So anything associated with it is suspect. That's why I don't take the vaccine. Plus, 2 years before anybody got it, I think I got it. I'm a political target, and I was almost like a death's door, having to shut off all sound just to have energy to survive for 2 years. So that's how I developed the sneeze it out of your system after, in case it ever came again. I may probably be immune by now, but I'm the John Lennon man.
Oh,
my dad was a doctor.
All right, yeah. Steve. Listen, we got to keep going. We got the light. The board is full. So thank you so much, and we're going to keep going. Okay. And next we have Tammy.
Was that Steve Lightfoot?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Tammy. Welcome from San Jose. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. I would like to say how grateful I am for all of your time and your effort and your insight. And what the thing I wanted to touch on was, this is may seem a bit radical, perhaps. I think that would be the appropriate term. But what if, just for a moment, would you think that something to ponder about is, what if you go into, say, your dentist and you get a dental, you have to get an extraction for your tooth, and maybe you go in, they say, oh, you don't need a COVID test or anything, and then you're a little apprehensive, but you go ahead and you do what you need to do, and then you get shot up in your gums with a big needle with a numbing agent of some particular sort. I forgot what it's called exactly, but Novocaine? Who's to say that wouldn't be a COVID shot?
Okay, well, that is definitely better. I would hope you trust your dentist to be the dentist. I'd say trust is a very personal thing.
But be careful.
Try not to worry.
Paranoia will destroy you.
Well, of course it will. I understand that entirely.
All right.
I just wanted to put it out there to see what your thoughts were.
Yeah, well, I'd say almost anything is possible these days. That's part of the other side of the coin, you know. So anything you can imagine, you can
practically create. Humans are capable of almost anything.
Yeah. I mean, teeth always been a great plot line.
You ready for?
Yeah.
We have Sean in Live Oak. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, Sean. I just heard what you were playing, and I'm going to give you some anecdotal evidence on it and put that up front.
Yeah.
I was talking to my older stepbrother in Minnesota. He and his wife got the first shot of the so-called vaccine, and they developed real bad arthritis reaction.
Oh. Okay, so we have a testimonial, the vaccine correlating with his arthritis reaction.
And
did he have arthritis before?
A lot more mild than what he did after the vaccine, and he's consulted with his doctor, and he says his doctor told him that this reaction has been noted in many other injections.
Yeah. What I'm concerned is if there's any truth to this whole shedding thing, you know, with the shedding of the spikes.
I mean, if you listen to Simone, the whole thing, she does warn that what she fears is these spike proteins can actually cause autoimmune diseases, and it takes about 10 years for these symptoms to occur.
Well, how do you know that? I mean, if it's only been around for a few months,
I don't know what's going to go on.
That's the whole thing.
It's all experimental.
Who really knows?
3 years to zombie.
All right.
Yeah, is that your prediction, Billy? Yeah.
Sean, we're trying to keep everybody to a minute. Yeah, the boards are lit up, so we're going to keep going here. We have Colonel Terry, who wants to say something about Benjamin Rush. Hi, Colonel Terry.
Well, I am proudly a descendant of Dr. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence and the founder of the University of Pennsylvania Medical School and the founder of mental health treatment in the United States, by the way. More importantly, I've got his diaries and letters and correspondence, and he would be aghast that we are not respecting science, which is what he would urge, as does any informed person. Dr. Fauci is not in some conspiracy to promulgate and make $1 billion from the vaccines. However, the drug and pharmaceutical companies, in my own personal experience, negotiating with them, okay, as a Air Force contracting officer, and also prior working with Ralph Nader, they are greedy, they are corrupt, they are deceitful, they are without any ethics, the senior executives at the American Pharmaceutical Company.
Yeah, I would say they're manipulating this whole Indian situation right now. I mean,
they may be exploiting it more than manipulating it.
Well, they want to make money on it, but what happened to the other 100 vaccines that's supposed to have been made by now?
And also, why is it only about suppression
Moderna
of free speech and the
Pfizer
denunciation of other treatments? You know?
Thank you, Colonel Terry.
Yeah.
All true, and the Trump administration corruption would not surprise me. if they were doing stuff under the table with Donald Trump's knowledge.
Look, we're opportunistic monkeys. They all were trying to benefit from it. Every one of them. There was so much money involved that it's a feast.
All right, we're going to keep going. Thank you so much, Colonel Terry. Good to know about Benjamin Rush being your relative. I'd love for you to bring us some of his wisdom and insights at call-in and future shows. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Continue this next weekend. Same topic.
Okay, all right. Great.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, and we have Mike in Santa Cruz saying nebulization. Hi, Mike.
Oh, yes.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Great show. I hope you'll do another show on the same topic.
Thanks.
Nebulizing hydrogen peroxide has been really helpful to some people, and you can search for that and find lots of different, people testifying
yes
to that.
Yeah.
Clean out the nose.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, that's what they
especially live. Like maybe even with some essential oils that smell good and make you feel happy.
And I agree this is a politicized handling, not a scientific one, because there are tens of billions of dollars involved, right, already. They wanted to up the price, I think, 800-900%, and it looks like the mRNA treatments are so specialized that they won't handle variants. So now you have to get
a new one, right, every year.
At a higher rate.
Hey, get on the subscription program. Be like Netflix for drugs.
All right.
So it's like hundreds of billions or $1 trillion. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
it's so obvious, though.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
Cliff, because we got more calls.
Cliff High of the WebBot fame said that we do shed these spike proteins, but they don't appear to infect people. People have allergic reactions to them, but don't get infected by them. So their DNA is not.
Oh, that's good.
Okay,
that's good.
So it's not exactly.
I hope
shedding.
That doesn't as crazy as.
Yeah,
people
some people are calling it transmission, but let's. Let's just keep going. All right, thank you so much, Mike. We're going to keep going.
Bobby had something to say on that, I think. Yeah?
Well, I just went to a birthday party 2 weeks ago on Sunday, and my best friend's—he just turned 60—and his wife. She had two children, and one of them got affected by vaccine. Mm. And so she's kind of an anti-vaxxer. But what happened was she goes to a yoga class. The yoga instructor was actually yelling at her face. And she didn't understand it, but afterwards she had this reaction, and her lungs got congested, and she couldn't figure out what it was.
Oh, anecdotal evidence. Okay, listen, we've got a couple more callers.
We have one more call that we're going to try and fit in here. Okay, thanks, Bobby.
Okay, thanks.
And Pureheart, hi, welcome to the show.
Hey, yeah.
Hi, Pierre.
Hey, good to see you at the event yesterday.
Good to see you as well. Mm-hmm. Only weirdos go there. My acupuncturist had a show on KQEP for 10 years or anything like that. He told me a story yesterday. He published an article, a link to a scientific study about another treatment for the dreaded Sniffles virus. And it was taken down within 90 minutes, he said. And there was no opinion to it. It was just a scientific study and the result, et cetera, et cetera. I went to go to search for hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah.
And you know when you do a search of how it kind of fills in guesses for you?
Yeah.
It would not make a single guess. I had to spell out the whole thing to the very last letter with no misspellings.
You might try DuckDuckGo instead.
Okay. I thought that I used.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Oh.
See ya.
Thanks,
hey, thanks for the
music.
Bye.
Yeah, we're in the final moments of the show. Boy, that went fast. Yeah.
And Dr. Mercola also is taking down his website.
Right.
There is a real
that.
War going
Mercola's
on against free speech, freedom of choice, right to informed consent. And do not go for it. Do not consent, people.
Stay tuned to this channel and this program because we don't know what to believe.
We're looking at it. We want to believe something here.
Take care of your health.
The truth, hopefully.
Take care of each other.
Working on it.
Use science. Sickness is real, but there are all kinds of treatments. Use your free speech. Use your informed consent.